Ian Brown noted when he reached his 60th birthday that most of his life was now behind him. In his latest book, titled 60, A Diary of My 61st Year, Mr. Brown confronts the process of aging with wit and honesty as he discusses what he thinks we should dread and what we should celebrate, and looks into the emotional, physical, and sexual changes that come with advanced age, or at least advancing age. It is published by The Experiment, and I'm very pleased that it brings Ian Brown to our show today. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
Of course, you weren't alone in turning 60 when you did, and early in your book, you list some others. Who are some of your contemporaries?
Well, I know this because I fell into the craven habit of going on to the internet to find out who was. But Christie Brinkley is my age, and Oprah is my age. And, you know, At first, I thought, Oprah, she's so successful. She's so talented. She's contributed. She's made so much money, and she's et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, at the same time, you think, but she is as close to the end as I am. And in my craven way, that is a relief.
Did comparing yourself to these people bring you comfort or distress?
I think it brought me a momentary relief. I think one of the difficulties is that there are two main approaches to getting older, and there always have been through the entire history of aging. One is the woe is me school, you know, characterized by poets like Philip Larkin, the great British poet, you know, who said most things won't happen, but that one will, dying. And then there's the...
Also complained that sex didn't start until the Beatles came along, and was fairly late in his life.
In 1963, yes, he regretted that. So you have the woe is me people, and then the depressives, and then on the other side, you've got the denialists, you know, the people who are delusional, you know, that you're younger next year, that you're sexy at 60, and I think like most people that I was pinging between those two and wanted to gather some of my own evidence.
A number of people have told me that they began to turn to the obituary page before they read the rest of the newspaper when they turned 60. There's all that comparison stuff that you write about here.
Yes, I think it's largely because we think of aging as failure. I mean, a lot of the time, the culture thinks of aging as failure. It's mostly because of commercial prospects. I mean, to a business or to somebody who wants to sell you something, you know, another Le Creuset sauté pan, you know, when you're 60, like, you don't really need another one because those things last forever. And you might be buying your last car. So from a commercial point of view, you kind of, to a business, you are a failure. But personally, I mean, the more you look into it, the more you realize that you know, there's this mythology that, say, artists do their best work before they're 40, and if they haven't made it by 40, I mean, Martin Amis, the great English writer, once said, if you haven't made it by 40, you'll never make it. But in fact, if you look around, I mean, everybody from Matisse to Bob Dylan to Ry Cooder, you know, to all kinds of artists and business people, you know, Warren Buffett, they're... best work is done after 60. So, in fact, aging is not failure.
Well, there are a lot of writers, for example, like Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and Lampedusa. We can go on and on and on. Wrote great books in their late age. But if you had been asked at 20 to describe yourself at 60, how accurately would you have described who you are now?
Unrecognizable. And, you know, at 20, you think of 60, and you think, oh, my God, that is the dinosaurs of the future, sort of. But, that's a...
Well, Bob Dylan said, don't trust anybody over 30 before... And then he turned 30.
Right. And now at 70 plus, he's still asking us to trust him. You know, Simone de Beauvoir, the great mother of modern feminism, she also wrote a book called Old Age. And in it, she says that the great paradox of aging is that while we all pretend we're not aging, we age from the moment we're born, and that most of us have within us this other, you know, who is aging. So we kind of live a double life. And, you know, if you've ever lived a double life, you know, it never works out. And eventually the inner being pops out. And that's why age comes as a surprise.
Donald Trump, who's 70, told Dr. Oz that he sees a 35-year-old when he looks in the mirror.
Too bad nobody else does.
I like this phrase that you have in the book. When you close your eyes, you're all the ages you've ever been.
Yes, my mother-in-law said that. In particular, she was referring to her sex life. But I think she's absolutely right. I mean, there is this, when you close your eyes, when you enter the realm of what's humanly possible, that there is less age. It's only when you live the quantifying life that you...
Do you think it's a convenient fact of life that we have a hard time feeling our true age as we get older?
Yes. I mean, it helps with the denial, of course.
Because you ask somebody, an older person, how old do you feel? Well, I feel 37.
Yeah, on many days. Yeah. You know, and some days 137.
Except when the knees ache.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
One expects with a diary that some uncomfortable secrets will be revealed. Do you share any uncomfortable secrets in this diary?
I try to be as candid as I can. I tried to write it as honestly as I could, and that I and other people who I mentioned in the book could live with it.
But were you writing it with the idea that this was something you were going to publish? So if that's the case, you have to be very careful about how you talk about other people.
I tried not to be careful, because I think one of the great problems of aging, one of the reasons we see it as failure, one of the reasons we treat the, especially the very aged, as kind of leftovers, is that we really don't speak with any candor about the subject.
You manage to approach sexuality very delicately in the book, while staying respectful of your wife and honest about your experience. Was that a difficult balance?
I don't think so. I showed the book to my wife, and she said, "I have no problem when you are truly and comprehensively honest. It's only when you're trying to strike a pose, I think, that you cut out and start to offend people." I mean, it is weird beyond 60. You're over 60, but everybody tells you that desire ends at 60. And beyond 60, really, we'd rather you behave like a grandfather. But in fact, it becomes more Catholic, you know, more widespread. It may not be as urgent, but you love more things. You become aroused and interested by more things.
Although part of the problem in a marriage is sometimes the husband and the wife are aroused by different things.
Well, yes.
As they get older.
That is true, but again, well, yes.
Well, I've always wondered how...
But that's not an aging problem. You know,
I always wondered how Elizabeth Dole felt about the ads that Bob Dole did for Viagra.
Yeah, I the same thought. Has she ever spoken publicly about that?
I think I asked her about it once, and she diplomatically dismissed it. Mm-hmm. We are warned about the regrets that come with aging. For you, has 60 come with regrets?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know that, as I say, I wrote this diary to try and... The common wisdom did not satisfy me, and I was trying to find some evidence of my own. The common wisdom is that one should have no regrets. But I do not know a human being who does not... Because if you have no regrets, it means you never yearned for anything. You know, you never knew, in a way, failure.
Well, how do you deal with them? Do you just simply say, well, the successes outweigh the regrets?
I like to remember something David Hockney said. And Hockney is another artist, you know, who's had this fantastic, done his most brilliant work after the age of 60. But Hockney said, somebody, Lawrence Weschler, who's probably spoken to you many times, once said...
So is Hockney.
Yeah, I'm sure. What do you do about, you know, the early Xerox paintings machine, color Xerox machine, which were not so great. What do you do about failure? Hockney said, I actually don't think there is such a thing as failure. I think you just do what you do, learn from what's happened, and move on to the next thing while you have a chance in this limited time we have.
You say that you started reading a list that appeared in the Huffington Post, a blog that said 60 perfect reasons you should be psyched about turning 60, but then you stop reading it.
I did, because any unilateral approach to you know, I'm convinced, I can't remember, I think it was maybe Hemingway who said there is no one single thing that is true, it is all true. The Huffington Post is always trying to convince me one way or another.
Now, you also point out that you may have around 25 more years to go, enough time for another career and another life. Have you made plans for your next 25 years?
I'm still thinking about it, and I'm hoping to keep the diary going, because the more detail the more you examine it from your own personal point of view, it might be a career in its own.
Ian Brown will be appearing at the 92nd Street Y tomorrow at noon. For tickets, go to our show page at WNYC.org. His book from The Experiment is called 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. Thank you so much for being on our show.
It's a huge pleasure. Thanks.